Good evening. Man, I really appreciate that Lord's Supper. How about you? It's so cool to have people like Tyler and so many others that you know, we could go on all day, all night. And it's just really encouraging to see people really invested in the body of Christ and really standing on the truth. And I really appreciate you for all that you've set as an example in your life. I wish I could say that it gets way easier to come up front, but, you know, my heart rate always is a little fast every time I come up here. I just tell myself I'm not nervous, I'm just excited. And same thing happens at the gym, and basically everything I do, I guess I just always have that. I'll go to the gym, and I know it's a workout I'll probably be okay at, but I just get antsy. I'm like, I'm ready to go. But, yeah, public speaking, kind of the same. So I had many thoughts about what I'd like to speak about tonight. But I decided to talk about Joseph. We actually made reference to him in Sunday school this morning. We actually read a little bit about him. And I thought it'd be really cool to look at more of his life. There's a most likely this will be a two-part message. Maybe not, I don't know. Either it'll be a short one, a short two messages, or a really long one. I'm not exactly sure. but, you know, in our day and age, there's lots of superheroes, lots of people that different people look up to. You know, you got Marvel, DC Comics, lots of different things, lots of different superheroes. And, you know, people get all excited about them, and they can tell you so many facts. Some people can tell you a bunch of different facts about the storyline, the backstory. Maybe it's Lord of the Rings for some people. Maybe it's Star Wars, Star Trek. I don't know. There's lots of different ones. But, you know, the Bible has a lot of really cool superheroes, and they're a lot cooler than those ones. And I was thinking Joseph is a pretty cool guy. He's a really cool guy. And I haven't spoken about him in a little while, and I haven't heard anything about him in a little while, so I thought it'd be cool to take a look at Joseph's life. And one of the really cool parts, like I said, I don't know what happened to my voice a month ago, but whenever I try to get really loud, it just cracks, so just bear with me. I might have to be grabbing a water soon, but one of the really cool parts about all of these great Old Testament heroes and their faith is that they oftentimes remind us of Jesus, the ultimate superhero. Jesus is a great hero, right? Joseph, though, he has a lot of traits that point back to Jesus. He's a great leader. He was wronged. He was innocent, wronged, put in a bad position. I mean, Jesus definitely was wronged, and he was an innocent man, and he was also a leader. Both of them ran from sin. Both of them were forgiving. Joseph was a great example of a godly man. And, you know, sometimes, even in ways that maybe people as David, we thought David, maybe he should have stepped up to the plate in a lot of ways, but sometimes David, he didn't make the right decisions. It's very clear. Joseph, I mean, there's a lot of times that he punches through and he makes the right decision regardless of, thank you, circumstances. You can start turning over to Genesis 37. Joseph, like Job, is a story that I think of. A word that comes to mind when I think of the story is overcoming. You know, it's kind of like James. The beginning of James. Oh, man, testing, trials, temptations, those different things. I don't really like those. But you know what? Have you ever heard of a great superhero story where there's no strong adversary? What kind of story would that be like? Oh, well, yeah, the plot was okay. I mean, the guy came onto the scene and there was really no character development. We didn't really see him have to work through anything. We didn't see him overcome anything, really. And at the end of the movie, it was just, it was mediocre. That wouldn't be too exciting. Is that the story of Joseph? Absolutely not. I think of one that he goes through many trials and temptations and testing time and time again. And just when it looks like, God has forsaken him or God has turned his back on him, he's still doing his thing, and we come to find out it's all for good. God was working behind the scenes. He was working a bigger picture. And there's a lesson in this that I think really should apply to us as Christians, is an unproven faith is not really a strong faith at all. Joseph undergoes, as we're going to look, some really testing things. And it doesn't seem like a big deal, but over the course of several years, over a decade, maybe 20 plus years, maybe there's some things that could kind of work on your attitude. Joseph is a great example. Somebody to look to in the scripture and to really just hold on to. So, we're going to start in Genesis 37. I had the example with the kids, and I guess on the topic of kids in the school. Mr. Chul brought up this morning some things about them, so I guess I'll take my shot briefly. How many of my math students are in here? Okay, I got maybe a couple, maybe one. I have some former math students in here. A lot of the math kids, they'll say, "Oh, I really don't want to be doing math today. I just really don't like doing math, Mr. Serrano. Why do we have to do this? I'm not going to become an engineer. I just want to ride horses, or I just want to go do, I don't know, whatever else. Why do we have to do this?" And for me personally, I will say one of my biggest pet peeves is complaining, so it's really helped me grow in patience. So I try to be gracious and loving, but sometimes I'm just saying, nope, no complaining. If you complain, I'm giving you twice as much work. You got to have a good attitude. And, one of the things that's being built is not just learning how to add 2 plus 2 or knowing what a prime number is or knowing, how to do short or long division. Those things are not super important in the day-to-day things in life. But one of the things I always tell them is that you're building mental toughness. You're learning how to also think, but you're learning how to be tough. You get thrown stuff at you every single day. You know you have to do it, and you know you have to get through it to get to the next part. So the better attitude that you have, and the faster that you just work on it rather than complain and to get stumped by this thing, things will move a lot smoother. And life is the same. Is it easy to lose momentum in life? Maybe with a bad attitude. It can get really hard because you know what happens? The homework starts piling up. And then it just becomes really daunting. And so, this is why I personally like Joseph. He had a really good attitude. Well, I don't know if it really specifies all things, but you can see that through the fruit of his life, he was focused on God all the time. So let's start in Genesis 37. And I read a lot of that this morning. So I'll just hit a few high points. You guys know the story. Jacob had some wives and concubines. He had different children. He had 12 boys. One of them was Joseph, his 11th. That was through Rachel. And Jacob really liked Joseph. He got him a coat of many colors. And Joseph, I mentioned this morning, so a lot of you guys are like, this is a recap. But it seemed like he kind of liked to flaunt. Maybe there was a little bit of arrogance. I don't know. He's 17 at the time. So I want you to also kind of, as we read through this, picture somebody who's about 17 years old. We got anybody in here who's 17? Micah, you 17? 16? In a month. Gannon is older. Drew's older. Kevin's older. Okay. Okay. All right, so Micah. Micah's roughly a good example of a 17-year-old. You know, these things, a side point is, throughout Joseph's life, he runs into a lot of things that are really challenging. But it's interesting that he still goes back and he still has his mind set on God. Side point is, don't skimp on pouring the Lord into your children. Set a good example of the Lord in your household. It made a huge difference in my household. My parents were great examples. And I know it changed my life. It changes many people's lives. It changed Joseph's life. And that's just a side point I was thinking about. He was a young guy. He endured a lot of challenging stuff. And he came out strong. Don't undersell the kind of foundation you can build for your children. Ultimately, it's going to be their choice. But you can build great foundations for children in a godly way. So Genesis 37, verse 4. Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. He is a favorite. And so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. And then we know Joseph had a dream. He tells them his dreams. In his dreams, he tells them that you guys are going to be serving me. And his brothers, they say, we don't want to serve you. It's bad enough that you're the favorite. Now you're going to tell us that we're going to serve you? You know, in a sibling brawl, that doesn't go off too well. And we keep going in verse 11. His brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the stuff that he was saying in mind. So his brothers were obviously very upset with him. We read this morning, so I don't want to cover too much more of this. We know the story goes on. Joseph is sent to his brothers. And what'd they do? Yeah, they were pretty much ready to kill him, right? Some of them probably would have. Some of them decided against it. They kind of decided, they worked it out. Okay, just throw him in this well or this pit. There's no water in it. How would you like to be betrayed by those who are supposed to be protecting you? Joseph, as a part of his character, he endured something that I personally have a hard time really connecting with, but I respect him a lot for it. He was betrayed in a way that would be really hard to grasp. His own brothers, his older brothers, I mean, he knew they hated him, but they threw him into a well, and then they sold him into slavery. And I'm sure he wasn't a dummy. I'm sure he understood that some of them were even contemplating killing him. And what did they do? They took the coat, they ripped it up, they put, you know, blood on it, goat blood, and they tricked his dad and said, oh, he got destroyed. But looking at the character of Joseph, this is a very challenging thing to undergo. And it's just something that would be very difficult to really wrap your mind around, to be betrayed. Again, a parallel to Jesus. Jesus was betrayed as well, wasn't he? By those whom he invested so much time and effort into. Let's look at verses 28 through 36. Then some Midianite traders passed by. They pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he tore his garments. He returned to his brothers and said, the boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go? So he took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in blood. And they sent a varicolored tunic and brought it to the father and said, we found this. Please examine it to see whether it's your son's tunic or not. He examined it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. So Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and daughters arose and comforted him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son. So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him to Egypt, in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. A tragic sight. One of your kids takes your other kid and then sells him. It's not a good situation. It would be very easy to start to have a negative view towards somebody else. And you see this a lot of times in somebody's childhood. Not that it's necessarily... Childhood is really important, and how you raise kids is really important. And those things that, while you're young, really make a big impact on you. And you would think that maybe Joseph, being a young man, that would be a big deal. And this is going to tie in probably later. I probably won't get to it tonight, but maybe the next message, talking about Joseph's forgiveness, his attitude of forgiveness. So, God allows us to be put into tough situations for our growth, ultimately. You know, I think about my cheekbone. And that was challenging. I'm sure it's not as challenging as a lot of things that a lot of you have had to undergo. But, you know, I often wonder, I would think at the time, as I'm laying there and I have a broken bone in my face, you know, the pain wasn't really the biggest issue. It was just the fact that I knew that there were broken bones in my face was more, it was more of a mental thing than it was physical. And I was thinking to myself several times, I said, what am I supposed to learn from this? What, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? What's the purpose behind this? Joseph probably had many of those moments. God, why am I here? I'm only 17 years old. Why are you allowing me to be put in this situation? You know, he didn't really see the big picture even close, because it's about 13 years from the point at which he goes back into power in Egypt. 13 years. Almost double his lifetime at the time. That sounds like a long time to be, you know, waiting for an answer. He didn't see the big picture. But you see, that's the way life works. A lot of times, maybe we don't see what is being built, the character that's being built along the way as we're going through the process. You know, it wasn't the last straw that broke the camel's back, was it? I mean, it was, but it was the accumulation of all of these things. You know, they say you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Character is built, and as Drew brought up so well this morning in his stewardship, discipline, the day in and the day out. Putting in the Word of God day in and day out. Wondering, why do I keep undergoing this chronic thing that is bothering me over and over again? Why am I put in a place of slavery? Because, you know, it's really easy to read about the story of Joseph from the living room couch, isn't it? But to be put in a position where you are subject as a slave, that would put a whole new spin on it. And it was wrongfully done. We'll see that even later in the story. He brings that up. So, again, we have to ask ourselves the question, what does God want me to learn from my challenges? But the answer doesn't always appear rapidly. Sometimes it takes time. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he owned, and he put him in charge. It came about from that time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. And let's jump down to verse 19 through 26. Now when the master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. Now, what's interesting is that Joseph not only undergoes something wrong once, now, he gets put in a place of slavery, and what does he do? Does he have a bad attitude? Oh, man, I can't believe that my siblings did this and I'm put in... No. The Lord was with him. He probably had a good attitude. He had a good heart towards God. And what happened? He's now placed above everything else in this guy's whole house. It's kind of cool, huh? And then I skipped over that the section in the middle, but what happened? Potiphar's wife, she wanted something from Joseph that he wasn't willing to give. It was wrong. Now, this is where I think another really cool aspect of Joseph is parallel to Jesus, is that he ran from sin. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. Joseph's wife, Potiphar's wife was wanting wrong things, and Joseph was not even in a position where he even wanted to be alone with her or to be with her, period. He didn't even want to give himself that chance. And he kept saying, no, rejection, rejection. And he literally got in a position where he literally ran. He didn't mess around with sin. And you might be thinking at this point, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's really encouraging. You know, maybe God will reward that. God would reward that, surely. And then what happened? He seemingly got punished for doing the right thing. But you see, that would be looking at things from a small perspective rather than from God's perspective. He goes to jail, and the verse talks about how God showed kindness to him. Interesting. I thought he was in jail. God was kind to him. You see, God is always working bigger than what we see at the moment. And Joseph is a great example of this. He's just constantly, time and time again, he's just putting in the work. I don't know why I'm here. Rather, I shouldn't even be here. I have been wronged by my brothers, sold into slavery. I do my best. Then somebody falsely accuses me again. Somebody does something wrong to me again. Now I'm in prison. Well, I'm going to keep serving God. Keep seeking. Keep serving. Keep loving. And all along, it's really working towards something greater. Do you think God has bigger plans for you, Christian? You know, this is a good story, but does God have big plans for you? Do you believe it? Is it bigger than just the mundane day-to-day things that you've been dealing with? You know, what if Joseph started to backslide and he said, well, God had left me a long time ago. I've been a slave for all these years, so I might as well just take what I can. Do you think he would have ended up where he ended up at? Don't equate where you are now with the end goal. Where you are right now is not the end of the story. Don't close that door. Keep serving. Keep seeking God. And think big. Think big. And that means, I mean, look at a practical example of Joseph, but think big. Think about what family member might I impact in the long term by my life and my perseverance. What opportunity might I have with so-and-so that I don't even know yet down the road because of the way I'm living my life, the way you're raising your children, the way that you're conducting your marriage? All of these things are really making a difference. If you're a young single individual, the way that you conduct yourself now here will impact the way that you are treating your spouse in the future. You know, don't discount and look at the things of where you are right now and say, well, this is it. Think bigger than that. Because God works bigger than what we can see. There's the example of... maybe I'll talk about that next week. Next time. Next Sunday morning. No. So, there's a lot of different things that I could bring up. But one of the biggest things that I really am just trying to bring out is that, you know, God causes all things to work together for good. Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work for the good of those who, what? Those who love Him. You know, it'd be a bummer if, not saying that you could really throw a wrench in God's plans, but it'd be a bummer. We talked about this in James, I believe. You know, you have this long life of perseverance. And I ran a marathon last year. That was a lot of fun. You know, it was a lot of fun. More so the experience than the actual run itself. But, you know, it'd be a bummer if I lost, you know, I started and around mile 5, I'm going strong and steady. And I'm staying, you know, keeping my resolve and I'm just going along. And then at around mile 10, I'm, okay, well, still feels good, but you know, I'm still sticking to the game plan. I'm staying strong. You know, mile 15, I'm still going. Mile 20. How many miles are in a marathon? Here, quick quiz. Yeah, 26 and just over at 0.2. Yeah. So, you know, I get to mile 20. Let's say I even get to mile 23. But at that point, I say, okay, this is not really working out anymore. I don't really see the point of this anymore. So I'm just going to jump off the bandwagon. How good do you think I would feel after running 23 miles for seemingly no reason? Not too great, would I? Not only would I not be feeling good physically, I wouldn't be feeling too good mentally because I knew that I just quit. You know, sometimes I think maybe the race, the life of a Christian is kind of like that. You know, keep going, keep going, keep going strong like Joseph. And, you know, I ran into one hurdle, I'm a slave, but now I'm going to, you know, stay strong. And then, what, now I'm going to jail? It's getting worse. I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore. It's mile 24. And sometimes, and unfortunately, this is a very sobering thought, people do stop running. And they didn't even see that if they just kept going a little bit longer, they would have made it. And they lost sight that God has the big picture in mind. Don't lose sight of that. Joseph, again, a great example of this. Let's go to chapter 40. Here's kind of something that I think is interesting because he's in jail. And he, obviously, he knew he had been wronged. And he obviously wanted to get out of the situation. He talks to a few guys. There's a few different dreams. There's the cupbearer and the baker, right? And the cupbearer, he gives good news. He's like, you're going to be restored in 3 days. And the baker says, wow, that's a really good interpretation. I want to talk to him about it. What about my dream? And he says to the baker, well, you're going to die in 3 days. Okay, whoa. It turns out that those things became true. But chapter 40, verse 14, this is interesting. Joseph says this to the guy who's going to be a cupbearer and restored. He says, only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was, in fact, kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. Even at this point, David is still wanting to get out of the situation, though. And he had been wronged long back. I have a lot of other stuff that I'd like to say on it, but we'll pick that up next time. In closing, I just want us to look at the life of Joseph and to realize that God is much bigger than we see right here. And the little things that you're doing are making a huge difference. It's kind of like the idea of a kid and his height or whatever. You know, you think about from your perspective, from being the kid's perspective and the day in and day out, oh, they're not really growing that tall. No, I mean, that you can like see little differences. But when grandpa and grandma see them a year later, whoa, the difference is huge. They've grown a ton. That's exactly how we need to look at things. Maybe we don't see our day-to-day growth. But when we really step back and look, it's worth staying in the fight. It's worth keep running. So that's my encouragement to you guys tonight. Thank you.